Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
What kind of impression did Kareem Jackson and Juwan James make on you, Stoke?
Just kind of what I thought. A good impression. Look, I was very optimistic walking into it that they're going to help the Broncos. I'm not more optimistic now about them helping the Broncos out this year and being a big part of turning this football team around. I'm still the same. They said all the right things, like I hope they would, like veteran players would. So just looking forward now to just watching them go out there and do it. What was your takeaway after listening to them?
I was just pleasantly surprised, particularly with Juwan James, with just the way that they carry themselves. You know, these are true pros. They're football, like Kareem Jackson, and I saw a RamosLaw.com text that said, he goes, and this is Brent in Thornton. He said, I'll tell you what's freaking me out. Last year about this time, we're all excited about Case Keenum. We're all excited about that tackle we got from Arizona. We're excited about that cornerback we got from the Redskins, etc. And the same thing that happened last year is going to happen this year. This is a different animal here. This is a different animal. Like, think about Brent, and I'm not coming at you, but think about the comparisons that we just made, or that you just made. You know, a year ago, we're talking about Jared Valdir, okay? Juwan James, a year ago, before the Broncos made him the highest paid right tackle in football, the Dolphins did. The Dolphins just did a year ago by slapping the fifth year on him, okay? So this is a certain upgrade. Did the Broncos overpay for him? You're damn right they did. But this guy was a first-round pick, 19th overall out of an SEC school, that the Dolphins had enough confidence after his 4 years to make him the highest paid right tackle in football for his fifth year. Okay? You think about the other comparison that you made. You're referencing Suah Cravens from the Redskins. Suah Cravens, at a certain point in time, people were optimistic about him, but he never really had any type of career. He had potential. That inspired excitement. Kareem Jackson has had a real career. No one in the history of the Houston Texans has more interceptions than Kareem Jackson. Talking about a guy with over 500 tackles and 80 breakups. You know, only one of four defensive backs in football to have that on their resume right now. Kareem Jackson is a freaking stud. Unequivocal upgrade. And then with the Case Keenum comparison as well, Case Keenum had one solid year. Joe Flacco has won a Super Bowl, Super Bowl MVP, and has had one losing season. So think about the contract. They are not the same. But I understand your premise that, look, you're going to get excited for no reason again. Okay, well, we'll see. Obviously, they got to go out and play well. But comparing that grouping last year to this year, they're two different things.
Yeah, they are. And, like, you can look at it a few different ways. Obviously, anytime the offseason comes and you make these types of moves, I just prefer to look at it very optimistically.
Way to stick that L-Y at the end.
I wasn't sure if it should go there or not, but when I said optimistic, it didn't sound Lee. Good, so you just throw that Lee on the end of it, right? Thank you. Thank you very much. But that's the way I want to look at this situation. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to be negative about the Broncos if I don't have to be. And if you make moves like this, solid moves, like Case Keenum, like, look, hoping that he would build off of his one great year in Minnesota. It didn't happen. Right, but in this situation, you look at Kareem Jackson, he's the fifth overall cornerback in the league, according to Pro Football Focus.
That's right, just last year.
You're getting a really good, versatile football player, okay? You look at Juwan James. Is he going to be the best right tackle in football next year? Probably not, but it sure certainly should be a huge upgrade over what we've been having and what we've seen around here. He should be the right tackle for the next 4 or 5 years. And he should play at a very high level.
Pro Bowl level? Question mark?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. should play. He should play at the Pro Bowl level. Yes,
he's a former first round pick,
right?
Highest paid guy at his position, and he's got Mike Munchak as a coach. Why shouldn't he be playing
in
at
a
Pro Bowl
level? Scheme that fits him perfectly.
Sure, let your athleticism blossom.
Right. Not saying he's going to make it. You know, most of it's a popularity contest, but at the same time,
Pro Bowl level.
Yes. That's right. Pro Bowl level.
Distinguished.
And then Joe Flacco, look, it's an upgrowing. I mean, we didn't have many other options there. I mean, what do we want to do? What did we want to do at the quarterback position? That's what I ask. So you got a guy that can still play, that has that fire to still play, and we'll see. We'll see what he looks like. But certainly, when you look at Joe Flacco, it's a big upgrade over Case Keenum.
Agreed. Agreed. And then there's this other dimension to these guys, and that's who they are as people. Not that you want choir boys, okay? But at the same time, these are dudes that you would let your kids around. Like good people, good human beings. I don't think I'm going to worry about Juwan James carrying a loaded gun and shooting himself. Like, you don't have to, no. I don't have to worry about Kareem Jackson entering, you know, someone's home. These guys are good guys. They're good culture guys. And the way that the Broncos have let things slip, I believe because of that, the human element does become a bit of a factor. We talked about it with the draft class last year. I mean, how markedly different was talking to guys like Cortland Sutton and Isaac Yiadom than it was, you know, the year previous to that. I think it matters to a certain degree. You got to go play great football.
Yeah.
But when you start, you know, splitting hairs, the human element, I believe, is more of a factor now for the Broncos than it has been in recent years, is kind of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they went a different direction last year in the draft, and it paid off. Yeah, I mean, you got to love football. You got to be a competitor. You got to check off all those boxes. I mean, it's hard to succeed in the NFL if, you know, it's all about talent. It's so much more than talent. There's a few guys that do that, certainly. But for the most part, you got to check all those boxes.
Kareem Jackson, Juwan James, Joe Flacco, all introduced today over at Dove Valley. And by the way, while I was doling out credit for our team, I failed to mention Jeff Brantley, Stephen Priest.
Yeah, you did.
Goodness gracious.
I can't believe it.
All the audio that you hear, it has to get cut up. It's got to get labeled. It's got to get printed in
it's
front of us.
Like you messed up.
We're still here. You guys do a great, great job. So thank you. Juwan James, Kareem Jackson. We'll hear from both of those guys personally next. Juwan James, one of the newest members of the Denver Broncos, just joining us. How do you feel right now, man?
Man, I'm excited. I'm excited it's finally official. You know, I was excited throughout this whole process when I knew, okay, Denver is going to be a play in this, and, oh, man, I'm actually going. But now that I'm here and we signed already, it feels great.
Stoked?
Yeah, looking at your position, you know, a primarily right tackle position, mm-hmm. Can you play both tackle spots, and do you prefer one over the other?
In the league, I've only played it once. It's my rookie year. I had a 10-game span. Brandon Albert had got hurt, finished the year out at left tackle. It was different, you know, switching sides, but I do feel comfortable on the right side. That's been my position in college and, you know, also since I've been in the league, so the right side.
Do you know the history of the right tackle position here in Denver? I'll catch you up. I'll give you a brief history lesson. 11 different starting right tackles in the last 5 years.
That's fine.
Last five. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of bodies coming through. Do you have an understanding that you're the guy, that you're the answer at that position for the Denver Broncos?
I'm definitely going to take pride in it. You know, offensive line is a prideful position. You know, we pride in our work and the work together. And, you know, I feel like it's my job to go over and take over this right side and do whatever these coaches ask. You know, so I'm just here to work, man. I'm excited. I'm excited to get in the room with these guys and work with them and, just, you know, see how they are.
We're visiting with new addition Juwan James, right? right tackle for the Denver Broncos. Now, John Elway says you're a great fit for this style of an offense. Why do you think he said that?
With my physicality and my athleticism. In this offense, you have to do a lot of, you know, running. We're going to run guys all day. You know, we're going to run the ball, run the ball. We're going to run these D-linemen until they get tired. And, you know, we got to take pride in being in better shape than them, being able to do it longer and more physical. So I feel like I'm going to help bring that to here.
And you mentioned the coaches, Juwan. One of those coaches is Mike Munchak. Yes. That just has a reputation that is as sterling as any coach out there. He's going to be coaching you. But at the same time, I mean, you've been in the league. You just signed this massive contract that I'm sure you and your family are proud of. Mm-hmm. Are you still willing to accept coaching and be, you know, humble and accept a new teacher?
Definitely, definitely. And I feel like in no aspect of life can you never stop learning, especially in this game. This game is so evolving. With new things, the RPOs now, different things like that. Like, you can always learn something. And to learn from a guy who's done it himself, who's done it at a high level, who's coached it at a high level, who's coached Pro Bowl, who's coached Hall of Fame people, I'm excited to just pick his brain and him to really critique me and to reach my full potential. I don't think I've reached my full potential at all. You know, I want to be a guy that makes a Pro Bowl. I'm a guy that, you know, is helping his team win and winning out. And I ultimately want to win a Super Bowl. So, you know, they have a tradition of doing that here, and I want to be a part of it.
Is that a specific goal of yours that you just said? You said, I want to be a Pro Bowler. Is that firm in your mind that that's a hard and fast goal for me?
Yes. Number one is winning.
Sure.
Number one is winning at all point, but at the same time, I want to reach my full position and know, okay, I was the best at this time, or I got to be the best here. So, yes, sir.
Love that.
What is your relationship like with Chris Cooper, former Bronco offensive lineman, assistant offensive line coach here with Denver, and was with you in Miami?
Man, I love Coop. Coop's a guy who, like Munchak, he's been a player. He's been there, and he's at a role now to where he gets to coach it. So when those guys can relate to you, when they've done it, it's a whole different aspect, you know, of their coaching. And Coop's been a great leader for us. He's been a mentor for me in Miami, and to have him here for this transition, I think it's going to help a lot.
From the outside looking in, what were your impressions of the Broncos when you think of the Denver Broncos?
I'm telling you, my first impression was 2014 coming here, and I remember we were up two by a lot, and Peyton came back and I just remember every down. It wasn't just third down. First, second down was loud. Couldn't hear a thing. And that to me, was huge, because playing in SEC, playing at Tennessee, sure, like, you got that. And in NFL, you don't see it in too many places. You know, there's smaller stadiums, things like that. But these people are passionate about their football. This is what they love, and this is what they breathe. And I'm looking forward to being a part of it.
Well, we're looking forward to watching you and providing some stability to that right tackle position. And you got two new fans with Brandon Stokely and myself. And very, very best of luck here.
Thank
in the next couple days.
Yeah, welcome to Denver.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, there he goes. Juwan James, one of the newest additions to the Broncos. Great conversation with Juwan. He really left a good impression on us. Easy guy to talk to, as was Kareem Jackson when we sat down with him. And I asked him, look, your presence is needed immediately.
Right. I'm looking forward to it. Like you said, a couple years back, no-fly zone, you know, with a great group of guys. You know, the only guy still here is Chris Harris. So for me, I'm excited to, you know, come in and team up with him. I've watched him over the years, always admired his game, have a ton of respect for him. So I'm excited to, you know, come in and, you know, help these guys get back to, you know, where they were.
Kareem, looking at your game, I mean, you can play safety, you can play corner. Obviously, your versatility is a huge strength. What position do you prefer to play?
To be honest with you, man, I really don't prefer any position. I mean, for me, it's just all about going out and wherever the coaches want me, wherever they need me for that week. I pride myself on being versatile, and I enjoy it, you know. Playing the safety and getting a chance to see everything and getting a chance to fly from sideline to sideline, man, I definitely enjoy that. Also playing corner and trying to get a chance to, you know, read some receivers and, you know, getting a chance to jump some routes, man. And the physical aspect, you know, from both sides, playing corner and safety, you know, I definitely enjoy that as well. So, man, I just pride myself on being versatile, and I know it can definitely help us.
And you reference yourself being a physical football player. We saw that firsthand this past year. A lot of people don't know this about you. You were a phenomenal running back in high school. I mean, you could have gone that route. I think 46 career touchdowns in high school, I think, something like that, right?
Yeah.
How much of that history of being a running back has helped you in terms of, like, being able to diagnose quickly because you played that position at one time?
Right. I think it's helped a lot. You know, when I my style of running, I was more of a slasher, you know, a guy. I was a cutback guy, you know, a guy that a reverse field and all that stuff. So for me, when I'm seeing it, I'm looking for the cutback lane as a defender, you know, because a lot of time running backs are looking for those cutback lanes. You know, sometimes one hole may close, so they're going to try to cut back, you know, depending on, you know, the scheme that those guys are running in. Obviously, with that zone running scheme, you know, a lot of the gaps are cutback gaps. So for me, I'm watching the flow of the line, and for me, I'm fitting where I think the ball is going to come out or where it's going to spit out. And, you know, and a lot of times, you know, I'm able to make a lot of plays, you know, a lot of tackles within, you know, the line of scrimmage. So for me, I think the playing running back helped me a lot.
We're visiting with Kareem Jackson, one of the newest members here for the Denver Broncos. Why did you choose Denver?
I felt that I would be a great fit here. You know, I felt the tradition was great here. You know, I felt I had a great group of guys, you know, defensively, you know, because I'm playing with Vaughn and, you know, Chubb and Chris Harris. And, you know, and competing against those guys last year, I kind of saw, dude, that they had a special group of guys. And, you know, I wanted to be a part of it here. You know, it came down between here and a couple other teams, and I felt like, you know, this would be the best fit for me.
Kareem Jackson visiting with us on Stokely and Zach. Another one of the underrated attributes for you is your availability. Like, guys at your position, they have a tendency to get banged up. They miss time. I think you've started as like 124 out of 132 possible starts.
Right.
Where does that stack up on like things that you pride yourself on?
Man, I pride myself on that also, man. As a kid, kind of growing up, my high school coach always told me the best ability is availability. So that was one of the things that I always carried with me, you know, and I kind of carry myself, you know, accordingly. You know, I have a routine that I stick to, and, you know, according to the things that I need to add, I'll implement things, you know, according from week to week, depending on how my body feeling and stuff. And my off-season training, you know, I do some heavy stuff to make sure that I'm prepared to go into the season and that I can, you know, play a full 16-game season. So, I mean, I like to be available and like to be out there, man. And so I don't think I can get anything done on the sideline. So, for me, it's all about being out there, helping the team, and, you know, to help the guys win.
Kareem, looking at your career early on in your career, were there any players or coaches that kind of took you under your wing and helped you get to where you are today as one of the best corners in the league?
I had a few guys that actually helped me. Obviously, Jonathan Joseph helped me a lot coming in my second year, playing 8 seasons with him, you know, picking his brain, getting a lot of knowledge from him on the field and off the field. Another guy was Glover Quinn. He helped me a ton, and Aaron Glenn helped me a lot. He took me in my rookie year, taught me how to watch film. You know, just kind of changed my mindset about a lot of different things. You know, obviously being a young kid out of Alabama, going first round, and just coming into a lot of money and stuff. So, he kind of taught me a lot. And also Vance Joseph. You know, him coming in my second year also, he helped me a lot. So those four guys, you know, I owe a lot of credit to. I respect those guys, you know, and they helped me out a lot.
We have to let you go on the way out. KJack TV.
KJack TV.
KJack TV. Is that coming to Denver?
That's what it looked like. I've been talking to a lot of people earlier today. They've been saying, you know, it's a possibility. So, man, I'd definitely love to do it, man. So get a fan something, you know, so they can kind of, you know, learn more about the guys, you know.
Sure.
It's one thing to go watch them play football and to see these guys, but getting a chance to learn more about these guys outside of football, man, I think it's a lot. Those things are interesting as well, you know, because we're not just football players, you know. We're men, you know, we're husbands, we're brothers, we're sons, all that stuff. So get a chance to learn about these guys in other aspects of their lives, man. I think that's so the fans can have a deeper connection just in football with these guys. So I think that's a great thing.
Well, you got two new fans in Brandon Stokely and myself.
Appreciate it, man.
Welcome
appreciate
to Denver. We're wishing you the best of luck, and I think you're going to do great. So
thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. That was great stuff from both Juwan James and Kareem Jackson. We appreciate the Broncos letting us have some one-on-one time with those new signees, and we're excited about it. All right, it's that time of day. It's Friday, so it's got some hot sauce on it.
And there may be a curveball coming. Stokely's stoked up, and we're getting hyped next.
What's Brandon Stokely?
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
Stoked up about today.
What a big win for the Nuggets last night, Zach. It wasn't pretty, but you know what? They found a way to get a big W, and they only gave up 10 points. 10 points in the fourth, and it wasn't looking good after Doncic. Luka dunked on Millsap and Plumlee. Plumlee, what are you doing? You don't run out there out of control, brother. Get there and break down, my man. Don't let Doncic run through the lane and dunk all over you. But the closer came through, Zach. To the rescue
The
closer, Jokic with a big-time bucket. Just give him the ball. When the game's on the line, Zach, and you know I've said it, just give him the ball. And look, it doesn't look pretty. He just throws the stinking thing up in the air, and guess what happens? It always goes in. Always goes in. Just throws it up there. Just throws it up. And you know what? So whoosh. And Zach, that's what I'm stoked up about.
Brandon Stokely's stoked up.
That's what I'm talking about!
That was a fun one, man. What a fun game that was to watch.
That was a blast. You said so whoosh. So whoosh.
That's what it was. I mean, he does that, though.
He does. It looks flat out awkward and bizarre.
Clumsy at sometimes certain points. Throughout the course of dribbling and like flopping a little bit and then just throw it up.
He, what do you say? That's the sixth time this season he's had a go-ahead bucket with under a minute left. The sixth time. I mean, he has turned into that dude. And you look at the Nuggets defensively, what they did last night. This is incredible. In the fourth quarter, you know how many points they gave up to another NBA team? In 12 full minutes of basketball, 10. 10.
10.
10.
I give it a 10.
A 10.
I mean, that now that is locked in, lockdown defense. Furthermore, to give you some more context here, because I know you're just chomping at the bit for more context.
Yes.
With how good defensively they've been in the fourth quarter, they are number one in the NBA in fourth quarter defense. They have the league's best defensive rating in the final 12 minutes of regulation this season. Their number one rating is miles ahead of the second place team, which is, in fact, the Mavs. They're on to something, man. They're on to something. And, took a little bit of a comeback there. Let's be real. They shouldn't have been in that position.
Right, but they were.
But they were.
Yep.
It happens. It's basketball. It's basketball. See,
it's basketball. That's right. It happens. I mean, first three quarters don't matter.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't matter. But like Gary Harris, I mean, late in the game, way to play defense. You know, you're talking about their defense, and you just watch Gary Harris all over the place. Everybody, though. I mean, and what I really liked, Zach, is the refs were letting them play ball. Both sides.
Sure.
Both sides.
Well,
they were letting them play.
That's how it's going to be in about a month.
I hope so. All of a sudden, you start playing these teams and, you know, these certain players. If you put a hand on them, you know, it's a foul. And then I see Jokic getting the ball, and this guy's two hands shoving him in the back. It's like, okay, just let it play out both ways. And they did, which I like to see. So they're letting them play ball. And great job by the Nuggets late. Gary Harris, you know, you kind of had a little bit of a missed assignment there on that last play where Doncic, a little miscommunication, I think, between Gary Harris and Plumlee. Who got who? I got him. And then Plumlee, I don't know, just like full, you know, trying to, you know, run the 40 out to get onto Doncic and then like lets him blow right by. I'm like, dude, no. I'd rather him shoot the three than give up the dunk. You can't close out. You got, Zach, you tell me, close out under control, right?
That's right.
Not out of control.
That's right.
Okay, just making sure. Oh, and this is the other thing. And I said this before on this show. How about a 2-for-1? Do we do 2-for-1s anymore? I mean, I'm not the NBA basketball savant, but I always remember you'd always try to get the 2-for-1.
Teams do it all the time.
You were up, and they got the rebound with like 35, 40 seconds left, 35 or so seconds. Let me see if I can see it. 40 seconds when Millsap got the defensive rebound when they were up by one. So it's a 24-second shot clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
So get the 2-for-1. Go down there and get a shot within 7 or 8 seconds. So you get the 2-for-1. I thought that was a huge missed opportunity. And then they had a bad possession. Why no 2-for-1?
You know what? I don't have like a hard and fast answer for that. A lot of coaches will say there's an overemphasis on it. Just get a quality shot.
Okay.
And don't worry about, don't try to manage the clock while you're trying to play efficiently, which I get. It's a case by case scenario because I've seen the Nuggets do 2-for-1 a lot. Why it didn't happen last night, I really don't.
That was a perfect situation for it.
Sure.
You know, you get the rebound with 40 seconds left.
Sure.
And you're up by 1 point. I don't want to let them have the last shot. If we go down and miss, and now they have the last shot. And that's what happened, pretty much. Almost happened
yeah,
to them.
Almost. But what a finish. I mean, what a finish. This is, this basketball team is, has just been a blast. Has just been a absolute blast. Isaiah Thomas has been taken out of rotation completely. Ooh. DMP coach's decision, second straight game.
So he's done.
He's done. And I credit Mike Malone for not waiting to see more to know that he's done. Like not waiting to see more. Like, I've seen enough. 9 games, I've seen enough. This isn't working, and I'm not going to continue. Because they had lost 4 or 5 before the Timberwolves game this past week. So no. I've seen enough. Isaiah, we're going to hurt your feelings. I'm really sorry. You can't play for
it's
us
not
anymore.
You, it's me.
Right, the old George Costanza. Right?
That's you got to give him a lot of credit.
You do.
Not an easy thing to do. You know, this guy's been looking forward to playing ball for a long time, getting healthy. Waited the whole season.
He's trying to resurrect his career.
Came out and was looking the part early on.
Yeah.
Shooting the ball well. Yeah. Looking like he was going to be a nice piece. And then it never translated. And it's hard for a coach to, you know, him and Isaiah are close.
That's right.
And
it's hard, one of the reasons he was here.
Right. Hard to have that kind of talk with a veteran player like Isaiah Thomas, a guy that's been nothing but great, it seems like, in the locker room, cheering his teammates on. He finally gets an opportunity and then tell him, like, nope, you're done.
Yeah.
That's not an easy thing to do. So credit him because it had to be done. This team was playing too well when Isaiah was on the bench, and then when he came back, it just wasn't the same.
Right.
And, you know, I was watching the Nuggets-Warriors game over the weekend, and Boogie Cousins is the Warriors' Isaiah Thomas. That's what I think. And you might think I'm crazy, but he is so slow. He doesn't move very well. He slows them down.
Yeah.
Doesn't shoot very well at all anymore. And it's just like, wow, that piece doesn't fit that basketball team. And they're trying to force that on him. And to me, it's not a good mix. Thought it would be a great thing, but I'm like, that is their Isaiah Thomas. That's who that guy is.
It's like in contrast to how they want to play.
Yeah. Slows them down.
You know what? I was thinking about Boogie Cousins this past week with Antonio Brown. That Antonio Brown and Boogie Cousins are very similar, that you probably don't want them as teammates, but you hate going against them. You don't want them in your locker room, but gosh, you hate going against them. I mean, Boogie can be a big-time mismatch. I think when the playoffs come and things slow down a little bit, as they have a tendency to do, you may see the best version of that.
Right.
But I absolutely see why you're saying that now.
Hopefully the Nuggets in this situation, they got their rotation now. They'll be moving forward with this group. Good move to get it done early. Everybody knows what direction you're heading in.
Right.
And hopefully we'll see that Nuggets that has been second in the West for a long time. Only one game behind, I believe,
now. That's right. I mean, this is a 45-22 team. It's just awesome. Just awesome. Been a blast. If you want to hear more Nuggets talk, Mile High Hoops podcast, available on our website, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, all that. Okay. Joe Flacco introduced to the community today. It's now official. John can put it back up on his Facebook page.
Right.
It's official. Joe Flacco.
Did they ever take it down?
I don't know. No, he didn't. He did not. This is John Elway on why Joe Flacco was the right guy for the Broncos.
Well, I mean, I think if we look what we're going to do offensively with Rich coming in and the offensive, philosophy and how we're going to go about it. And plus you look at the success that Joe's had and where we were just felt that, and the success that even though this is a different offense that has evolved, but also to know the success that Joe's had in the system that he had with Gary. And obviously that's changed. But, that had a lot to do with it. And I think that, again, getting a guy that I believe at 34 years old, as you're talking about, is still very young at the position that he's playing. And he's got a lot of experience, still has all the tools to make all the throws. And so, you know, it really turned out to be a perfect situation for us. And so we're glad it worked out.
Did you catch that? Guess what he said when he was talking about the offense? And, you know, he has played in the Gary Kubiak system, but this system will be a little bit different. It has evolved.
It has evolved a little bit. Do you think that's a veiled shot at Gary?
I just think it's just like we don't want people to think that we're going to be running that offense, you know, the Gary Kubiak. We're going to be more like the Kyle Shanahan offense.
Mm.
So we've evolved from the Gary Kubiak to the Mike Shanahan.
Not this guy I didn't hire, but this other guy I didn't hire.
Right.
We're going to be closer to that guy I didn't hire.
That's right. Yes, we're going to be more like that offense.
Interesting. Interesting observation.
Like, oh, you know, Gary Kubiak, he had a really good offense, you know, this and that, but it's evolved. Of course it's evolved. This, you know,
interesting.
I caught that.
I got to tell you, I'm not in love with constantly referencing Gary Kubiak's offense. And I heard the fellas in the morning doing a good job of like laying this out, Schlereth and Evans, of like we're talking about this guy who had his best year in Gary Kubiak's offense, but we didn't hire Gary Kubiak, and it just seems like the emphasis on one of the reasons that this is going to work is because he thrived in Gary Kubiak's offense, and that's what we're going to run here. But Gary's not here.
Well, I think what John is trying to say is the foundation will look pretty much similar. It's not Gary calling the plays. It will be different, but under the center, right? What kind of running game are you going to have? The same type of running game, right? The zone, stretch, read, running game. That's the running game that you will run. You will be running some bootlegs off of it, but it will be a little bit, you know, the new version, the 2019 version of that offense. But the foundation will still be very similar. Under the center, same concepts run-wise with some wrinkles. So that's why, you know, and Joe, of course, had his best year in that offense under Gary Kubiak. Gary's been here. So that's, I think that's why we keep saying Gary's offense, and because we've seen Gary here a lot, you know.
Sure.
And sure. Joe and Gary were together, and it's still basically the same offense, the foundation is.
Just some sugar on it, as Joe was to say.
Yeah, just a little.
Sprinkle some sugar on it.
That's right. Just a little.
Just a little.
Upgrade. Upgraded, though.
Right.
Hide the hoagie.
Hide the hoagie offense. There you go, Joe Wills. Thank you.
Hide the hoagie. Oh, my gosh. I love that. I hope that never, that soundbite lives forever. One of my favorite parts about the.
The what?
Stop.
Inside joke. That's why I don't want cameras in here.
Will we? Apparently, we are getting cameras in here.
I'm going to hide behind the screen. Look, drop down the, like, you know, you got the Impala. Wait, where's the seat? Right here. Look at that. You won't be able to see me on the camera.
Like Big Worm in Friday.
Yes. Look, you can't see me. Like, where's the camera going to be able to see me right now? It's going to have to be like.
Well, I think they'll move. We'll just adjust them and we'll move. It's going to have like a wire, like the Monday Night Football cam.
Oh.
We'll just swing it where we need. We'll swing the Sky cam where we need to.
Who's operating that thing?
And I think they said that we're going to each have a camera on our heads.
GoPro.
I'm going to look right at you.
Yeah, perfect. The GoPro. Yeah. Sign me up for that.
One of my favorite parts about the Joe Flacco press conference is how he answered the question on what would define success here with the Broncos.
Winning football games. Listen, I've been in the league long enough that to know success is nothing but winning football games. I don't care if you're a young team, if you think you're rebuilding, you know, you go win 6, 7, 8 games, that's not success. I don't care, you know, like I said, I don't care what the expectations were from people. At some point, everybody's real expectations are to go win games and be in the playoffs. And then from there, see what happens and go win a Super Bowl. And you know, that's what everybody's trying to do, and that's what I'm trying to do the rest of my career is win the Super Bowl.
He ain't running from it. He's not one of these guys that you know, tiptoes around talking about winning big. It's like, look, I've been in this league for a long time. It's all about winning games. I don't care if you think you're a young team. I don't care if you say you're rebuilding. The expectation is to win and get to the playoffs, and once you're there, you're going to try to win a Super Bowl. And that's what I'm trying to do is win a Super Bowl. And I just love the, like, look, this is why I'm here. This is why you guys brought me here.
Make no mistake about it.
Make no mistake.
I'm here to win football games. That's what you want to hear. That's what you want to hear from your quarterback. I didn't expect him to stand up there and give a rah-rah speech and, you know, pound the table. He delivered what I wanted to hear, and he said what I wanted to hear. And I think as a teammate, as a fan, I mean, that's what you want to hear from your starting quarterback. Like, I'm not here, you know, to try to get better every week and we'll see how it plays out. No, we're here to win games.
Right.
Get in the playoffs.
Right.
And then ultimately win a Super Bowl.
Because he could have answered it like that. Like, hey, just get, like you said, get better every week, you know, build and,
you know, there's
the
a
winning
lot of,
should take care of itself.
Right. There's a lot of changes going on here. You know, we'll be better at the end of the season than we were at the beginning of the season. We got a lot of work to do, and I can't wait to, you know, get out there and work with the guys and get better. No, look, what success, you know, I mean, coming to Denver. Look, win football games, man.
Right.
Get to the playoffs. That's it.
It's the NFL.
Hold him to that standard. He's not, see, that's the thing about Joe. He's not scared of those expectations. You know, he's not scared to go out there and fail. He's not scared to put the bar up high and say, okay, we didn't reach it. Look, I'm comfortable with who I am. I'm Joe Flacco. I'm a Super Bowl MVP. So that's what I expect. That's what you want from your quarterback.
Yeah, and I feel like...
not old golly gee, it's good to be the starting quarterback.
Right, which is kind of what we heard 264 days ago. Exactly.
264.
We were just here. We were just here, technically, about 24 hours shy of a year ago. And the quarterback, not to dump on Case because I'm a fan and I hope he has a lot of success with the Redskins. I like Case. Just not here playing starting quarterback for the Broncos. But when Case is introduced, it's like, hey, like I'm the starting quarterback. Like John Elway just said, I'm the starting quarterback. Like, this is awesome. That was more of the sentiment.
Right.
Flacco's like, yo, I was a first-round pick. I've been a franchise quarterback for a decade. I've won a Super Bowl. I had confetti in my eyes before. This is why I'm here. And he doesn't have to fake it or project. And I felt like with Case, I mean, shoot. After the season, Case said, I learned, what'd you learn this year, Case? I learned what it took to be a franchise quarterback. Well, Joe Flacco learned that a decade ago.
Right.
This is old hat for him. As it is for Vic Fangio. You know, you could make the same parallel of Vance Joseph gets up there, and he was the coaching version of Case Keenum. Trembling. Well, these are a lot of cameras. Whoa. Like, remember he said, I'm lost in practice. When practice starts, I don't know where to go.
Right.
Like, Vance said that. That was said into a microphone. Vic Fangio gets up there, and he's like, yeah, I'm Vic. I've been coaching for two decades here. I'm here to run this defense. Questions? Like, he's just being himself. This is who he is. Same parallel with Case to Joe. There's no projection. There's no, like, this is who I am. I don't need to project. This is me. I'm Joe.
Did you say 264?
Oh, 364.
Mm. Just checking.
Did someone call me out?
Yeah, of course they did.
Text line always keeps you honest.
Addition is a problem. Searching for an answer.
Yeah, just 100 days off.
Zach, there's 365 days in a year, not 265. Thank you.
And we do have other Broncos news today.
We
Shaq
do.
Barrett.
Shaq Barrett.
Signed with Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
$5 million. We also learned that the Broncos did not give him an offer. Any sort of issue with that?
No, not really. Look, I mean, they knew they weren't going to be able to pay him. He wasn't in their plans. $5 million, it's not a lot. I mean, especially for a very serviceable backup, but it's kind of, he needs to go do his thing now. He gets an opportunity. You can't pay everybody. You can't keep everybody. There's only a certain amount of money, so you need to allocate that money elsewhere, really. I mean, I think that's what it boils down to. I think they would have loved to keep him, but good for Shaq. He's going to have an opportunity to start down there in Tampa, and that's good for him. Got a chance on a one-year deal to go out, and if he starts and has a good year, he'll get paid big time next year.
Speaking of getting paid, the Broncos signed up Jeff Heuerman to a two-year contract for $9 million.
Yep.
They said, a Hockenson? No, we have a Heuerman.
Mm. I'd rather the Hockenson, maybe. And look, I think they were stuck in a bad situation.
Yeah.
In a down market when it comes to the tight end position. They didn't see anybody out there that was worth paying. and they have a dire need for tight ends. I mean, you got a guy coming off an ACL, and you got a guy that didn't play, a rookie that didn't play in Fumagalli, and nobody else really. So Heuermann provides one veteran presence. I could still see them drafting a tight end at 10. It doesn't take your guy TJ Hockenson off the board for them.
Okay.
So well, that he's still in play.
That would have ruined my afternoon. I'm glad it didn't. I'm glad you said that. It is a gorgeous day, and it looks like a gorgeous weekend.
Let's go, Duke!
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
No hat trick this year, North Carolina. Zion is back, baby. Did you see that last night?
That boy, let me just say this on the way out.
Man amongst boys.
Zion plays with his pants on fire.
Yes.
And that is a quality that not every athlete has.
He is a man, child.
Have a great weekend, Bronco Land.
Welcome to Bronco Land.
Come on, Drive!
The Drive's coming up next.